Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Normal service is resumed. The terrible memories of a Derby Day defeat over because of, in the space of a week, 7 goals in a couple of games have Man City back where they belong. Almost, I should say, of course. A resounding victory in Zagreb in the Champions League to bow out on a high in the group stages, and a quite convincing victory over Arsenal yesterday at the Emirates. Kevin De Bruyne showing us just what Kevin De Bruyne does. This is the Man City Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from the Man City Show podcast. How are we, gents?
Well, we're a lot better than we were. So nice to bounce back, isn't it, from a disappointing defeat. And great day. We were both there at the Arsenal at the weekend. And good performance. Kevin De Bruyne out of this world, but great performance from the City.
Absolutely. Well, I am back, me, Matt Beadle, for one night only. Gents, of course, haven't been with you for a few months.
It's nice to see you looking well.
Thank you. As are you, Nigel Rothman. There we go. Look at it. He's put on the lights. Incredible stuff.
Works well on the radio, doesn't it, Matt?
For those who can't see, Nigel Rothman right now has pressed some sort of button which has made his Christmas jumper illuminate.
All in blue.
I mean, lovely. Just look at it. Resplendent, that is. And joining us as well, Spencer Dobson, for the first time, I believe, on Love Sport.
Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you here. A debut.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm. And that's as close as I'll get to any debut as far as football's concerned.
But a Man City Show podcast regular, I believe.
Absolutely.
Right, gents, let's talk about the game yesterday. Like we said, quite a convincing victory. 3 goals inside the first half. And let's be honest, it could have been more.
It could. I mean, De Bruyne, as I said earlier, was outstanding. He scored 2, made 1, had a fantastic shot, and credit to the keeper, sort of tipped it onto the post, and that could have been a first half hat trick. He was outstanding. I have to say, Arsenal were very, very poor. I think it's the poorest Arsenal side I've seen for many, many years. And to be honest, second half we took off the gas. We didn't really need to. It was a bit like a training game, to be honest. Sort of keeping the ball and really City under no pressure. I think, in fact, Arsenal had one shot on goal within the first minute, and that was it. So that tells you everything you need to know, I guess.
I actually missed that because I arrived 3 minutes late, and as I came through down the steps, De Bruyne was like bang 1-0, and I was jumping around with people I'd never met before. I hadn't even found my seat, but I didn't actually have to see that chance happen.
Well, the goal itself, and let's get on to De Bruyne, and we'll go straight into him, KDB, because 2 absolutely fantastic goals. The first one, like you mentioned there, Spencer, I mean, what a finish. Such a difficult technique to master. And yes, we can say, oh, he's a Premier League footballer, he's on loads of money, but to still be able to do that with the ball coming at you at such pace.
I know. He's got this ability just to... it flies off his boot. I mean, we didn't even sort of see the raise before the shot. Apparently that was 60 miles an hour as that hit the net. And it's just wonderful to behold, isn't it? Loved it.
Absolutely. Directly involved now in 19 goals. Since the start of 2019, that's more than any other player in the Premier League.
Well, people are starting to again call him one of the best players in the world, best midfielder in the world. I mean, I don't know all the midfielders in the world, I'm afraid. I can't comment on many, many countries, but I'd like to meet one or two who are any better than him, I have to say, at the moment. I'm going to go back a few years now, but he does remind me of my favourite all-time Man City player, a fellow called Colin Bell. You won't remember him. They did name a stand after him, so he's not wasn't a bad player. And he was part of that fantastic team of the late 60s and the early 70s. And he actually reminds me of him in many ways. Graceful, fantastic fitness up and down the pitch, knows where the back of the net is, and just a fabulous footballer, just great to watch. And having watch City for as long as we both have, it is just wonderful to see the sort of football that we can play, and a player like him just is worth the entry money.
Yeah, he absolutely is. I should just slightly correct my stat. The most of any midfielder in the Premier League in this period, of course, there have been strikers who have scored more goals, of course. And the man alongside him, Phil Foden, making his first Premier League away start and showing us yet again the quality that he has.
Well, I think all the City fans were really delighted that he was on the pitch and amazed, really. It's his first start. I was reading that he's supposedly he's had 50 sort of caps, you know, probably 46 from the bench so far. But he absolutely, he's 19 years old and he absolutely did not look out of place. And I think most City fans would like to see him given a long run in the team now, notwithstanding David Silva's, you know, in his final year and his on the wane a little bit. So, but he plays fantastically well.
Some were disappointed to see him substituted, but I could understand that. He'd played midweek.
Yeah.
He started at the weekend, and he's clearly going to play against Oxford United on Wednesday night in the quarterfinal of the Carabao Cup. So he maybe looked a bit leggy at towards the end of his time on the pitch. So I can understand why Pep did sort of take him off and give him a bit of a break, because he's going to be playing a lot of football. He's going to be playing more, I'm sure.
I agree with you on that, because it was a gripe in the studio at the time when he came off. I think it was after, what, 55 minutes or something, wasn't it? It was pretty early on in the game that he came off. And no matter what people say about Phil Foden, the fact that he should be playing more, it is quite clear that Pep has a specific plan in place for Phil Foden. And whether we like it or not, and whether we think that he should be playing more, coming off against Arsenal after 55, 56 minutes was clearly a conversation they'd had before the game.
Sure.
And he said to him at half-time, go on for another 10 and then I'll take you off. Unless Phil Foden signalled and said, you know what, I am feeling it, I'm a bit leggy, I want to come off. But no problem with him coming off at all. But interesting what you say there, Spencer, about David Silva being on the wane. Do you actually believe that now, and you think that as we go into 2020 maybe the transition will start to become more common?
I mean, that would be the logical thing to do, taking the sort of emotion and sentiment out of it. I think it's just a fact that David Silva still has all the skills, there is no question of that, but his influence on the game, his ability to turn games, it's still there, and I'm sure it will be important to us in the Champions League, and of course the incredible experience he's had. But for transitional reasons and actually performance on the pitch reasons, when Phil Foden's come on in recent games, he has really made an impact. I mean, it's we've really felt his influence on the pitch, I think. And at the end of the day, with Pep, it's all about the system. But Phil Foden has more than shown, I think, merit in actually being picked alongside and ahead of David Silva during the remainder of this season, in my opinion.
Let's be clear about David Silva, a City legend. and I, you know, listen, we throw that, we ban that around lots. There will be a statue.
A statue will be there.
A statue will be there. Is no question. There will be a statue to David Silva.
You're going to lose space around the ground with all these statues going up.
No, fine, he's a special one.
You've seen the complex. It's a big old place. The complex now. We'll have room for David Silva, Vincent Kompany. Don't worry. Sergio Aguero, they'll all be there, don't you worry. I'll take you up there, we can have a look around.
Lovely.
And you can pay your own respects there, man. I know you'll enjoy that.
Absolutely.
But Spencer's absolutely right. I think we're beginning to see, he's in the autumn of his career, let's be honest, yeah? We're beginning to see him having less influence. And I have to say, the energy that Foden brings and the pace and the enthusiasm, I think it's right. And I think we will see less of David Silva, sadly. We know he's going at the end of the season. And more and more of Phil Foden. I think people have said in the past he hasn't been managed very well, he should have gone out. Look at some of the, you know, Jadon Sancho and people like that playing week in, week out, getting headlines around the world. I think Phil Foden's been handled brilliantly by Pep and the backroom staff. I think they've got it absolutely right.
And I think we can see he's not getting any worse. It's not like he's going backwards. He's getting better, and we'll get onto the Zagreb game a bit later on. But just the way that he... I think the first goal, dictated the play.
That, yeah.
Absolutely. Just such a fantastically gifted footballer. Regarding the game itself as well, Pep's 200th game in charge of the club, which in contrast, when you look at Freddie Ljungberg and his fifth game in charge of Arsenal, was stark contrast there. And listen, 200 games, something to celebrate.
Absolutely. And listen, people are talking about sort of questioning sort of Pep's commitment to City. We're having a bit of a blip this season. You've got to understand, this is on the back of two absolutely unbelievably amazing seasons, and yeah, in the league we're having a bit of a blip, sure, but it doesn't take away the fact that he is a fantastic manager. I think there'll be a statue to him, Matt, at some point as well. Should we have another statue to Pep as well, do you reckon? Yeah,
but it's interesting you say that, Nigel, because of course there will be a Pep statue, but the statue should be awarded to those people whose heart is, they sweat and they love City from their deepest heart, and actually Pep, I think, is the world's best manager, in my opinion. But he will go on to other projects after his tenure at City. And whereas these other players who get the statue, you know, they've sweated, you know, their heart is coloured blue, as far as we're concerned, anyway. That's my version of it.
Oh, what'd you make of that, Nigel?
Who are you talking about then? So you're saying that Pep shouldn't have a statue?
I'm
then
saying
because
that
he's only been the manager.
Yes,
is that what
I don't. I wouldn't be wasting my my cast on Pep, much as I respect and admire his world class abilities. But I definitely would for the other three. That's just a personal opinion.
What if he won the Champions League? Which I know we're probably going to get onto. But if he won the Champions League, bearing in mind you and I both remember just about Mercer and Alisson and the one European trophy we won, of course. In 1970, the European Cup Winners' Cup, the only European trophy. Pep hasn't won one yet. So if he won that, let's say we won the Champions League under his management, does he get a statue then?
Then he gets a statue of himself hugging Sheikh Mansour. That's absolutely right.
Brilliant. Well, a player who came in before Pep Guardiola arrived, of course, but Pep has been credited with making him into the player that we now know he is, made his 400th senior career appearance. That was Raheem Sterling against Arsenal. Interesting stat I read. First 300 appearances, 67 goals. Last 100 appearances, 53 goals. That's incredible.
Wow, that is amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, he has improved enormously under Pep, and it's kind of, people say, well, Pep takes the credit. I think the player's got to take a huge amount of credit here. He's not only been a fantastic player on the pitch, you think of the abuse that he's taken both in this country and abroad, the racial abuse he's had, I think he's risen above that. He's handled that brilliantly. And of course, Sports Personality of the Year, of course. He was in the frame to win that, which I think is fantastic. And he's a real role model for so many kids as well around the place. And I think he's done a fantastic job. And I wish him well. And he had a bit of an off day against Arsenal, but I think, you know, strikers are allowed to do that. He's not going to perform brilliantly every single week. And yeah, he didn't seem great at the weekend against Arsenal, but he will come good and he'll continue to improve. And I think he'll be a top world striker, which he pretty much is now.
To be fair, he did do one brilliantly craft by ducking for Kevin De Bruyne's first goal. He saw it coming and actually lowered himself on the ground to not get in the way of it.
He wasn't the only one. The goalkeeper and the fullback did the same as well on the way through. They both watched it fizz past their ears as well.
Well, to be fair, we talk about the Premier League campaign so far this season, and another stat after that victory, three
are
goals.
You're the stat man today.
Sorry, yeah, being a stat man today. I don't know. I feel because everybody's been on Manchester City recently with their Premier League form, but when you delve a little deeper into the stats, it goes to show that actually it's not as bad as you think. Yes, results haven't been as good, but that's 25 away goals in the Premier League this season. That's the joint most by a team in their first 9 away games of a single campaign. The other team to do that?
No idea.
Manchester City in 11-12, and we all know what happened then, don't we? This is the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Love Sport. It's the Manchester City Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from the Man City Show podcast, Nigel Rothband and Spencer Debson. Great to be back, guys. Thoroughly enjoying it. Now, some news this evening, of course, is that Mikel Arteta, the assistant to Pep Guardiola, is having a third and final meeting with Josh Kroenke at Arsenal, with talks of potentially becoming the new Arsenal boss. I know in the past Pep has given his blessing to Arteta and said, if an opportunity ever came along, I would not stand in your way. What are your feelings about this one, about his right-hand man potentially moving on to the Emirates?
I think he'd be a fool to take it, is my first feeling.
Okay.
I think he's got a sort of poison chalice. I think a lot of issues there at Arsenal. I mean, a lot to sort out. If you compare it particularly with Manchester City, with a really solid foundation, a supportive board, we've got a situation where we've got the academy that's working well and players coming through. You've got none of that. It doesn't seem to be working at all at Arsenal. And all the stuff that Arsene Wenger built up seems to have sort of crashed and burnt. And the sort of football they're playing and their league position and the fans booing them off at half time is not a great place to start. So I'd be surprised if he took it, when actually he's got the opportunity to work alongside the greatest manager on the planet, as we were talking earlier, continue to win trophies, still sort of continue to learn his trade, and in 29 years' time, when Pep decides to move on, 35 years' time, whenever it is, whatever, then maybe he could then sort of step into Pep's shoes when Pep finally decides to leave Manchester City.
I mean, you're right, of course, Nigel, but we do look at it through our City...
Absolutely.
Blue tinted glasses, don't we? And we don't want Arteta going anywhere, because he's formed a great partnership. He's very well respected. He never smiles when the camera's on him, and that means he must be good. but I can see the counter argument that there's obviously a great reordering that needs to be done at Arsenal over a number of years, and that it would be a great challenge, no doubt terribly well paid. So I could see the counter argument for it, but I would be very sad indeed if that happened.
What would be the impact at City though, Spencer, do you think? Yes, I know he sits at his right hand, but there's so many in that backroom team. How influential do you think he is? How much does he actually do? I know we don't know.
Don't really know. I mean, you'd say he was the number two person to Pep. He really is. I mean, there's a team of about 20 or 25, aren't there, around with all the various coaches and nutritionists and all the rest. But he it's impossible to answer that question. But one would say that he's not indispensable in the sense that Pep Guardiola is indispensable. And I would be respectful of the opportunity presented to him if something happened, but of course I don't want him to go anywhere.
It's an interesting situation. By the way, just a very quick update in the Premier League. Wilf Zaha has just crashed one in. Top bins for Crystal Palace as they are now level with Brighton. Neil Maupay putting the visitors ahead in the M23 derby. Of course, Eagles versus the Seagulls. Wilf Zaha with the equaliser there for Palace. Regarding the mood of Mikel Arteta, it's an interesting point because he doesn't smile. I've interviewed Arteta a couple of times and he was a gent, really warm in his presence, a really, really lovely bloke. And it's really interesting that when some of these ex-players go into management, it almost is like their character slightly changes. They become a bit harder, don't they? A bit more stone-faced. And he very much is like that on the touchline.
I mean, He's class, isn't he? He's just everything about him. He has that aura about him. Never been in his presence, but he does have that authority. And you just tend to think he's probably really good at his job, you know, without having had any personal exposure to him. So yeah, I like him because obviously he's part of the current setup. I can't really add anything as to his, you know, underlying qualities, to be fair.
And is it a concern if he was to go? And I know you're making a joke there, Nigel, that Pep will be here for another 34, 35 years and then he can take over. And I said at the top that Pep did give his blessing for Arteta to move on if he got the offer. Is there a fear here slightly that Pep and Arteta have had a conversation, and read into this what you will, I'm not trying to spread any rumours or anything, but the fact that Pep said, well, you know, I might be on my way at the end of the season, so it's probably worth you taking it.
Yeah, listen, there's all sorts of speculation about Pep as well, of course, which is kind of does tend to muddy the waters a little bit. I'm not convinced by the Pep talk. I'm pretty sure that they'll do a deal with him. I'm sure he'd probably not for another 35 years, but maybe another 3 or 4 years. I guess they're going to extend that contract. And I wouldn't, having said, I don't think you should take it, I wouldn't be surprised if he did, for all the reasons that Spencer gave. You know, it's going to be an opportunity for him. He's not quite an Arsenal legend in the same way as the Ian Wrights of this world and one or two others I can mention. But he's, you know, would go back to a club where he'll be loved by the fans. Clearly an opportunity there. It's a pretty low ebb, so he can go in and make an impact. And he's learnt his trade at the feet of probably one of the best that's ever managed a football team. So you could understand why he potentially would take that on.
Yeah, completely agree with you. Right, we're going to move back to Wednesday now and that game against Zagreb in the Champions League. Of course, bowing out in the Champions League group stages on a massive high. Gabriel Jesus with a fantastically well-taken hat-trick, by the way. All of his last 14 goals coming away from the Etihad. Amazing, that stat, isn't it? And that's now also more than 500 goals in those 200 Pep Guardiola games, which is also an incredible achievement. But winning convincingly in Zagreb and now, of course, set to face Real Madrid in the knockout stages. I mean, if he wants to win it this season, he's going to have to do it the hard way.
Sure. I mean, going back to the Zagreb game, it was the kind of biggest dead rubber of dead rubbers, because City had won the group. If we'd lost 37-0, it wouldn't have made any difference. We still would have won the group. But actually, what was interesting was sort of Pep went out there, and you could just tell from the attitude, we've come off a defeat. He wanted to get some momentum, and I think it was a real morale boosting win, actually. And as you say, to go 1-0 down, and Jesus's performance, so he comes in for quite a lot of criticism from a lot of people, but when you're following,
he does,
because people try and compare him with the great statue of Sergio Aguero, another statue that's going to be built at some point at the Etihad. So you can't compare the two. He's in his early 20s. Mm. He's at the start of his career, but his scoring record is pretty good. And he's a different player. He works hard. He chases back. And he made one of the goals, didn't he, at the weekend against Arsenal. He's a fantastic footballer. He's Brazil's number nine. Let's not forget that. He can't be much of a mug.
It's interesting, actually, because he does... He does polarise views, actually, amongst the City fans. You know, half of them love him, half of them say he's not good enough. And part of it, of course, is because he's understudy to Sergio, who's, you know, legendary and one of the greatest strikers, if not the greatest, you know, we've ever had at the club. So I'm always been a great supporter of his. And I think he's young. He's agile, athletic. He's got all the skills. He's got the Brazilian flair. And I think he'll... You know, his scoring stats are very, very respectable. And I think he'll, hopefully he's with the club a long time, he'll do really well for us.
Yeah, not even 23 yet. And I really like Gabriel Jesus. I love his story, the fact that he came from nothing. You know, you always hear about Brazilians in the favelas, but that really was the case with him. His celebration, his alomai, you know, a tribute to his mum, who he brought over all his family, of course, to be with him. An incredibly grounded individual. Remember those pictures as well of the World Cup where he was out painting the streets and stuff as a youngster. So yeah, do enjoy Gabriel Jesus. In terms of the Champions League now and moving forward to that game with Madrid, I mean, Spencer, what a clash.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if we were sort of picking the balls out of the cap, we wouldn't have probably chosen that one. So then the cliched comments will come out. Then, well, if we're going to win it, you've got to beat the best.
That's the one.
Real are not quite the force that they were, but that's a dangerous statement to make, isn't it? I mean, they're level with Barca at the top. They've actually only lost one game, I think, so far. You know, we're going to have to be at our very best to beat them. We know that. You know, we've got that capability. We've shown in the last couple of games that a knockback, you know, we tend to come back strongly, actually, from setbacks. And hopefully we'll have Laporte back. That's another big issue going into the new year. He should be ready. We're told at the end of January. I think the first leg is the middle of February, isn't it?
That's Nigel, correct.
Is that
yeah.
right? Yeah. Yep. So every City fan in the land will be hoping that he's at the centre of the defence at that point, and that we play to our capabilities, because if we do play to our capabilities, we're more than capable of beating Real over two legs.
We are. And I'm really excited about it, because we could have got kind of an easy draw, if you like, but actually this is what it's all about. You know, we were playing in Division 2 not that long ago, and here we are. This is what it's about, being a top team playing other top teams in the Champions League. I think it's fantastic. And if you remember, of course, our last sort of getting through to the semi-final, of course, was a terrible performance, one of the weakest City performances ever under Manuel Pellegrini. We lost to them in the semi-final, of course. So there's... It would be nice to make up for that pretty dire performance, which sort of lives long in the memory, sadly.
Absolutely. It wouldn't be a Manchester City fan show, by the way, without a Nigel Rothbard reference to the Division 2 days. I love it. It's always there.
Oh, and also, we got the 1960s and 70s in as well, so that's two.
You did. You got the Cup-winning cup in. I noticed that. Yeah. We should start to get a dinger. Should get that sorted.
Thanks, Mr. Statman. We'll be ticking every stat you come up with then, in that case.
Okay, well, here's another one.
we can trail our recent victories, if you wish.
I think that the meeting of the managers is a key aspect here, right? So five Champions League wins between them. Zidane with the three in a row, of course, with Madrid, and Pep twice with Barcelona. However, not yet with Manchester City. We said this at the top. How important is it, Spencer, for his legacy at the club if he is to be set in stone somewhere amongst the million other players that are going to be set in stone around the Etihad, that he wins this trophy?
It seriously is really genuinely important, I think, both for Pep Guardiola personally and his managerial career, for Manchester City, and the reasons that they brought him in the first place. So I think that clearly this is top priority. I think it was even before we fell so far behind in the league. And they do say, you know, it's a dangerous tactic to say, well, you know, the Champions League's our priority because it's a number of knockout games and anything can happen on the night. But I think that, you know, this is the missing link, isn't it? This is the element of City's achievements which is missing and which helps support our status as the most valuable club in the world, if not the most second valuable, according to that recent survey that we were discussing the other week.
I mean, back to the managers. Neither manager is going to be pulling his hair out, is he, over this one?
Oh, there he is. No, very good. I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, though. Do I get a point back for that then?
You can have that back. Yeah, we should also get the round of applause ticker on as well. Yeah, very good. I'll take that one. All right. OK, you're back on top. That was Nigel Rothman then with an incredible quip here on the Manchester City fan show on Love Sport. Next up, we've got Roger Reed, the great Roger Reed, on the show. We're doing an awards show of 2019. Love Sport. Oh, there it is. We are popping now here on the Manchester City fan show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the boys from the Man City Show podcast. Nigel Rothman and Spencer Debson, because right now it is time for the award show. The Manchester City Fan Show Award Show in association with the Man City Show podcast and also with a man who has spent a lifetime in football, Roger Reed, who joins us on the line now, a favourite of the show. Roger, it's great to have you on. You are going to run us through 2019, including some of the best bits to come out of City during that time.
Absolutely. Great to speak to you again, Matt, by the way.
Thank you very much, Roger.
Yeah, I just to say that I was obviously inspired by watching the Sports Personality of the Year Award, and I thought, well, we could do the same for City, really, couldn't we?
Absolutely we could, and no better man for it, Roger. I tell you what, you are the man for the job. You've got plenty of categories lined up, I understand, and you're going to reel them off.
I've got a statue nomination.
Perfect. You've been listening. I like that, Roger. So, it's been a great 12 months for Manchester City.
It has indeed, and there have been lots of memorable achievements and accomplishments during the year, and what I've tried to do is actually take the two halves of the season, because 2019 obviously saw the end of the 2018-19 season and the start of the new season. And amazingly, when you combine them, you can actually see some trends which are quite interesting. But let me rattle through them, if I may, Matt.
Please do.
Firstly, the lifetime achievement. Well, to be honest with you, there was only one contender. After his 11 years of service, during which he lifted 10 trophies, Vincent Kompany has to be nominated for a statue or an award or whatever you want to give him. He scored some memorable goals for us, some key goals, the goal against United and the run into winning the championship in 2012. Sorry, winning the Premier League championship, of course. The Football League Cup final goal in 2018 against Arsenal, and last year the winning goal against Leicester 2019, which also gets the Greatest Moment Award, as it did on the BBC last night. It was a contender, but Vinny's goal against Leicester City at the end of last season was definitely the greatest moment.
Absolutely was, Roger. I like the fact that you combined two awards in one there.
Very good. I know I'm going to run short of time here, man.
No, mate. You got a bit of time. You're good. And actually, the greatest moment, that company, what always springs out for me is just, it's the commentary. Every time you listen to it again, you just think, just the gushing in the gantry.
And it was great being at the ground because I was with Nigel as we watched the ball sort of zoom into the top corner, and we're both sort of rising as the ball went into the top corner. It was just a memorable moment. It was terrific.
I think a moment for me, of course, was, and it was picked up, I think, by the mics on the TV cameras, was Sergio Aguero, of course, and going up to him, saying at the time, "Don't shoot, Vinny, don't shoot.
Don't shoot." Well, you've just hit on the next award, if I may. The Player of 2019 Award. There is only one contender for this, and it is Sergio. I've got to tell you, he is absolutely phenomenal. When you look at his statistics, it's incredible. Do you know, in 2019, and this is these are stats that I've put together, so forgive me if I've got these slightly wrong or whatever, but he's made 34 full appearances, 6 substitute appearances, and scored 32 goals.
Wow.
Now, let me just repeat that. 34 full appearances, 32 goals, 24 in the league and 8 in the cup competitions. That is absolutely incredible scoring. And I checked on his full record. Do you know what Sergio's full record is? 244 goals in 300 full appearances.
Rog, listen, Sergio's a legend, and there will be a statue for him, as we've discussed. but for me, the goal scorers always seem to get the credit and always get in the limelight and so on. I'm just going to throw a couple of names at you, and I don't want to take up too much time. I want you to get through all your nominations. But Fernandinho, for me, is one of the greatest players. He's kind of slowly but surely becoming one of my favourite City players of all time because of the job he's done in that really important position. And he doesn't get the credit he deserves. And I think over the year of 2019, he's got to be up there in one of the nominations. Is he someone you considered as well, along with KDB?
He would have definitely been in there. And I think, you know, Kevin De Bruyne, again, was absolutely outstanding yesterday and has been this season. There are a number of contenders, but I'm sorry, forgive me, it's my personal choice. I just think Sergio is absolutely the best striker. And he, you talk about being underrated, he is still one of the most underrated strikers in the Premier League and has been for years.
Hey, Roger, they are your awards, mate. It is entirely up to you who you choose.
My young player is a joint award. Ooh. My young player of 2019, the joint award, Phil Foden as the young up-and-coming and the replacement for David Silva in the long term. He just made his 50th appearance, I think, quite recently. He is definitely in there. He's a joint winner with, and forgive me, Nige, it's another goal scorer, Gabriel Jesus. Do you know what his scoring record is? Let me tell you. 55 goals in 72 full appearances.
How old have you got to be young player then? What's the
cut-off? What is he, 22, 23?
He's 23, yeah.
Yeah, so I just think that scoring record is absolutely incredible. You know, we've got him obviously lined up as the replacement for Sergio. When he substitutes or deputises for Sergio, his scoring record is second to none. There are other teams in the Premier League that have key leading strikers who haven't got anything like that strike rate.
No, I completely agree with you, Roger. It's interesting you've gone with two. Could you not decide between the two?
I couldn't decide between the two because I think Phil Foden, the Iniesta of the future. I mean, I used to watch Barcelona purely to watch Xavi and Iniesta, and I think Phil Foden is going to be as good as them.
Okay, moving on to the personality of the year. I'm interested to see what you come up for this one.
Yeah, the sports personality of the year, in my view, has to be, and again, there's only one contender, Raheem Sterling. And Nige touched on it earlier in the programme. I think the way he's risen above the, you know, he used to get constant abuse at every away ground a couple of years ago. The way he's risen above that and actually made himself into a role model about this sort of sensitive issue of racism, I think is absolutely fantastic. His personal strength and resilience has been remarkable, and he deserves the award as personality of the year because I think his mental strength is absolutely superb.
I agree with you completely, Royce. The only slight disappointment is I thought maybe I might be in with a shout for that one, but I understand why you're giving it to Raheem. Fair
no,
shout.
You might get a mention later on, though.
Oh, crikey. There we go. Right, what's next, Roger?
Sad moment. Sadness this year. We lost two great people with great service to City over the years. A mentor of mine, and I used to work at City, he was my boss, Bernard Holford. He was club secretary since 1973. And Bernard sadly passed away earlier this year. He was a fantastic man, a City man, a football man through and through, and he will be sadly missed by everyone at the club.
Yeah.
And spare a thought too for the late Eric Alexander, he was a chairman and director of the club for many years, and again, he was a director when I worked at the club in the 70s and 80s. And his passing sadly brings with it the remarkable sort of history of the Alexander family going back to the early 1900s. They were fantastic supporters of the club for many, many years, and they deserve probably better recognition than they've had, I think.
Well said, Roger.
Absolutely.
Moving on to Volunteer of the Year.
Yeah, my Volunteer of the Year. I did actually think about me, because every time I get a phone call, I'm there for you. But then I thought, no, be serious. modesty forbids, I'm going to nominate Nigel Rothband as the Volunteer of the Year.
Would you believe it?
He is there on the podcast, on Love Sport Radio, every week in, week out. Nigel, I'm sorry, you're not going to get a statue, mate, but you get that Volunteer of the Year award from me.
He's definitely going to campaign for it. I'll tell you that for nothing.
you're very kind, Roger. I appreciate that very much.
Can I finish with the fun award?
Go on.
The best spoof video of the year, and you can get it on YouTube. If you look up Premier League trophy prank on YouTube, the fun award is Sergio Aguero and Kevin De Bruyne in front of a tour group of City supporters at the academy. They set up a picture whereby they actually dropped the Premier League trophy over the balcony at the academy there, and it was filmed, and the looks on the City fans' faces as they saw the Premier League trophy break up into smithereens was absolutely priceless. And of course, it was a spoof video, because it was a spoof trophy, but it was a fantastic spoof, and for Sergio and Kevin to go along with that was fantastic.
Indeed it was. Roger, I've thoroughly enjoyed your award show of 2019. And I'm just going to run through them again while you're on the line. So, Lifetime Achievement, Vincent Kompany. Player of the Year, Sergio Aguero. Young Player of the Year, joint between Phil Foden and Gabriel Jesus. Personality of the Year, Raheem Sterling. Greatest Moment, Vincent Kompany as well, for that goal against Leicester. Yeah. Volunteer of the Year, we can brush past that one. And, and of course, Nigel Rothband, of course. And a great moment for the Fun Award as well, like you say there, the faux trophy damage there. Just while we've got you, Roger, 2019 is coming to an end. It is our final show of the year. Just your highlights and lowlights as a Manchester City fan.
Well, there were very few lowlights, if I'm honest with you. I mean, obviously, we've lost a couple of games, as you know, this season. But for me, as a City fan, I mean, we had thin and thin, really, over the last 30 years before winning the FA Cup in 2011. So to win the FA Cup and win it well by beating Watford with 6 goals at Wembley, to win the Premier League Championship at Brighton by scoring 4... to win the Football League Cup on penalties, admittedly, against Chelsea, to get the domestic treble, or indeed quadruple, if you want to include the Community Shield, was just such a fantastic achievement for everybody at the club. Great credit to all of them. And as a City fan, that will live with me until my dying day. It was just wonderful.
Roger, it's been a pleasure having you on, as always. No doubt we'll speak to you in the new year.
Fantastic. I look forward to that. I look forward to talking to you again, Matt.
Thank you, Roger.
Cheers.
That was Roger Reed there. Thoroughly enjoy having him on the show. What a man. Full of beans, isn't he?
Yeah, my goodness.
I sit next to him every week at level 3 of the Colin Bell stand, so it's a joy and a pleasure. He's a real football man, as you say.
Let's run through the awards, gents, because in agreement with everything there, Lifetime Achievement Kompany.
Oh, I think so. I think you just look at what's happened, and I think, interestingly, it's not just the trophies that we've won. I think people talk about him being a leader, and in those sort of, when we've dropped a few points, people start to look around and people have been saying, well, not only have we lost kind of Laporte and lost a good centre-back, we've kind of lost a leader in Kompany, both on and off the field. He did a huge amount off the field for people in Manchester generally, and that's been well documented. So I think nobody would argue with that. Over the last 10 years, absolutely fantastic.
And the rest, you're pretty happy with, Spencer?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I don't know why I keep remembering this, but when it came to the fun bit, I just always remember Mendy last season when he was hopping down. I think with Champions League, and something good had happened, and Raheem Sterling had scored, and he was out with a cruciate ligament injury, serious injury, and he's sort of just hopping down on his bad leg to congratulate Raheem Sterling, and I think Pep, you know, just said afterwards, "Oh, that's probably put his injury back about 6 months." Yeah. But it was just the sheer joy, and actually, that's one of the reasons why we kind of love Mendy, even though he frustrates the heck out of us as well.
Does he frustrate the heck out of Man City fans, Mendy?
I think he's been out a lot. He needs game time. I think he wasn't great against Arsenal, but of course at the end of the game, I don't know if you're aware, but he got into the crowd and was doing selfies. Mm-hmm. All the other players had gone into the dressing room, and it's kind of, in a way, you think, concentrate on your game, Benjamin. Yeah, you're great on social media, you're a bit of a laugh, but he hasn't really found that form that we saw at Monaco, and he had a very serious injury, and it's taken him time to get back. We need to see him playing. Big question is, who's our best left back? You know, because we've got
Zinchenko and Angelino as well.
So, you know, there's some competition there now. With Zinchenko being fit, you could argue, albeit he's a midfielder, he's probably a better left back at the moment. You'd probably trust him more, I would have thought.
Yeah, you would. He'll be wanting to be fighting fit as well, of course, with Absolutely. Ukraine in the Euro 2020 tournament this coming summer. Right, big week coming up for Man City, of course. Oxford United in the Carabao Cup on Wednesday, and then hosting Leicester City next weekend in the Premier League. We'll be talking all about that next. Love Sport. It's the Manchester City Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with the guys from the Man City Show podcast, Nigel Rothman and Spencer Debson. We are looking ahead to the next 7 days of action at the Etihad. First up, Oxford United in the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup. Now, Oxford United, gents, this is a potential banana skin, but this is a team who have slightly dipped in form in recent weeks. Of course, went number of weeks unbeaten for a long time. I think the best run of any team in all four, top four tiers of English football. They lost against MK Dons, who hadn't won in 12 games prior to the meeting at the weekend. So injury ravaged as well. Lost first choice keeper Simon Eastwood. He was out. They had to bring in Jordan Archer on an emergency non-contract basis. So Carl Robinson's side just starting to struggle with a few injuries at the moment. The results haven't been as good. And sometimes you would look at that and say, do you know what? They've got their eye purely on this game. So there is a danger here, Nigel, that it's a potential banana skin.
Of course, this is the quarter final of the Carabao Cup. Oxford United will have a buzzing stadium. They will, you know, make a huge amount of money. Good luck to them. I think it's really, you have to understand that Pep takes this competition very seriously. We've won it twice in succession. This is potentially our third year in the trot. We're going to win it. So Pep will take it seriously. The league, you could argue, is pretty much gone. Mathematically, okay, it's still possible, but in our hearts, we realise it's probably gone.
I can't believe I'm hearing this.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, no, it's listen. My head says it's gone, but yeah, okay. My heart says it's still possible. Are you happy with that?
Well, yeah, no.
You're going to give me a stat now, aren't you?
No, I'm not going to give you any stats. All I'm going to say is that obviously the lot, and this is, it's been an enjoyable evening tonight because we've had Arsenal on and then Brentford on, and yep. The contrast. When I was the Arsenal show, the last time I was with them, it wasn't nice. We've got the lights back on. I like this. Is this just to go with my mood? Yeah. They weren't downbeat the last time I was on the Arsenal show, but they were just starting to lose a bit of faith in Emery. Now, you know, obviously complete lack of faith and the sacking of Emery, and they still don't know what's going to happen with their football club. Brentford, conversely, have come right up since I was last on the show. City, obviously with yourself and the other guests that we had on the show, Paul, of course, were always like, no, do you know, it's not a problem. Liverpool will drop points. But now you see it. I mean, Spencer, yourself, you see it as just gone.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this on the podcast, actually. We had a lot of stress at the end of last year, and magnificent stress as we came through. We've fallen so far behind that I think that there's a sense that we will play each game. Hopefully, we'll win many, many more than we don't. And we'll see what happens. But I don't think anyone deep down is really expecting anything from the league this time.
14 points, yeah, 14 points. I'll tell you what, every other football fan in the country that wasn't a Scouser was just hoping City could do something yet again this season, because it is going to be horrendous come May if Liverpool lift that Premier League trophy.
Well, let's not be too downbeat about it. Well, the Christmas lights are back on, and we were talking about Oxford United.
We were,
and in terms of City, so Pep will take it seriously. I think we've got a situation here where we could win it three times on the trot, and
what it's going to be about is how many of the kids is he going to play? Because he's going to rest players. We've got a big game at the weekend, which we'll come on to. And therefore, it's I think we're pretty clear that Foden's going to start. He'll rest the goalkeeper. And it's kind of who else? Is he going to go with Garcia and Harwood-Bellis as a back two as well? I guess Gundogan will play. Cancelo, who's coming at, 60-odd million? We're not seeing much of him. That's incredible that he's seen very little football. And maybe Mahrez will get a game. But I think Pep will want to win it. I think we'll probably have enough to win that game. But absolutely, they'll be up for it. And that ground will be buzzing for sure.
Yep, indeed it will. I mean, realistically, it should be a victory, of course. And then Leicester coming to the Etihad next Saturday. Now, this is a team, since they returned to the Premier League in 2014, have only won once at the Etihad. That 3-1 victory, of course, in their title-winning season. Apart from that, pretty comprehensive victories for City.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a very different Leicester style of play than happened in prior seasons and the championship winning season for them. They are really playing great football. They've got our former player, Kelechi Iheanacho, who I suspect will feature because people tend to do well against the teams that they used to play
for. It's going to be an interesting one with Iheanacho, isn't it? Because he obviously came back into form with that great goal against Everton when he came off the bench. I think it was 3-3 for him, or even 4-4. Of course, he scored the next week in their victory. I think it might have been over Aston Villa. But we saw this week against Norwich City and his slight misdemeanour with regards to not fully understanding the rules of sportsmanship or just perhaps not being switched on at the time. Brendan Rodgers hauling him straight off for not giving the ball back to Norwich City. And you just wonder where his head might be at. I would imagine that Brendan Rodgers, being the guy he is, a generally good man manager, has spoken to Kelechi and said, look, I had to do it because of the situation, but now show me what you're made of against City next week.
I think Spencer's probably right. I think he could well feature. Whether he starts, I'm not sure, but I'm sure he'll get a run out at some point. Listen, Leicester and Brendan Rodgers done a fantastic job there. Nobody thought they would win the Premier League just a few years ago. I remember going through that season, they'll pick up some injuries, they'll go through a bad run, but they just kept winning and kept winning, and they're looking very strong. What concerns me is their attacking force and our back four. I think we know we're compromising with the injuries that we've got. We've lost Kompany, we've lost Laporte, we've got Fernandinho now, as we know, as a makeshift centre back. I am concerned, and I think we're clearly going to concede. That's for sure. And it's really if we can't be misfiring up front. We've got to make sure we're going to take our chances. And I think it's going to be a very exciting game. I think it's going to be end to end stuff. There's going to be goals in it. I think that of course the result nobody wants, unless you're a Scouser, is a draw. Of course, that will be a nightmare because that will just mean if they continue to win, that sort of gives them even more of an advantage. But I can guarantee that I'm going to sort of change what I said before. I think City are going to win the league.
Yeah, there we go. Brilliant.
You said I'm going to guarantee Leicester City.
Leicester City.
There we go. Full of gags tonight is Nigel Rothman.
You're full of stats.
Yeah, brilliant. Gags and stats. That's what we deliver on the Manchester City Fan Show here on Love Sport. Gents, I actually want to just quickly go back to the Premier League, and I'm not going to try and make it all downbeat, but when I see performances like we saw against Arsenal and like we saw against Burnley, for example, that's where I look and go, oh crikey, City, just you've been slightly more astute in the games earlier on in the campaign, could still well be within reach of that Premier League title.
Well, again, you really don't want Liverpool to take it, do you?
It's not, I think I'm speaking on behalf of many, many football fans, just because of
Well, look, one thing you can be sure of is we will give our all. City's the mentality is there, the skills are there. The last two games shows, we don't fade away. We come back and we stay strong. So I think we could easily have 15 wins on the bounce going forward from now. And Liverpool, you'd like to think, are going to hit some lack of form at some point. We don't see it so far, but they've also won a lot of games in very narrow terms, and where they haven't really played that well. So it's impossible to think that there won't be some ebbs and flows. And I think we'll pick up a lot of points between now and the end of the season, that's for sure.
I mean, Matt, 17 games gone, we've already lost 4 games and drawn 2, which is kind of unheard of in sort of recent history. And you're right, we haven't been firing on all cylinders. We have had a disappointing run, and
and lost sort of against sides that we shouldn't be losing to. You know, we shouldn't be losing to Norwich City. It's just that just makes no sense at all. And it does lots of reasons for that. We can mention injuries, but it's not just about that. It's the fact that we've come on, as I said earlier on, we're coming on the back of two fantastic seasons, and there are one or two players who maybe haven't been at their fantastic best. Mm. Haven't, you know, we can talk about Bernardo Silva. We mentioned David Silva earlier on. So there are a number of players who haven't been maybe been playing at their best, and it's had an impact. And, yeah, we've had a bit of a blip, but it'll be interesting at the weekend against Leicester. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, thoroughly looking forward to watching that one. Gents, we've got about 45 seconds to go. So, I mean, it's fair to say, I think the festive fixture calendar has been relatively kind to City, because it's Wolves away after Leicester, then it's Sheffield United, Everton, Aston Villa, Palace going into January. So the fixtures are quite friendly. In terms of this being the last show of 2019, gents, just a quick reflection of the year and your hopes for 2020.
Well, in terms of the year itself, it's been absolutely phenomenal to win four trophies. I'm going to throw in the Community Shield, because I always do. Four domestic trophies. It's just a dream come true. Yeah, the start of this season has been more disappointing. But in terms of next year, I think Champions League, it's our year. And the league isn't over yet either.
Spencer?
I'll second that, Nigel. I've got nothing more to say. Champions League. That's what we're going to do this year.
Lovely stuff. Gents, it's been a pleasure being back in your company for one night only. This has been the Manchester City Fan Show here on Love Sport with the guys on the Man City Show podcast. We'll be back next Monday at 9 p.m.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.